Brother Silas has done some mighty fine preaching tonight. One of the things that he emphasizes is that we love mercy. You know, most of us, we love to receive mercy.
Right.
Being merciful is the hard part. So I'm going to try to walk a little bit of that tonight since it's late and not keep you very long. So we're going to try to be merciful to your time here this evening. Have you enjoyed today?
Amen. Yes, sir. Thoroughly.
Have you enjoyed understanding the things that have been preached today? Mm-hmm. When you sing the songs and the words that make them up, those words touch your heart and resonate with you today.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
You know, brothers and sisters, there was a time when people such as we would not have had the blessings that you've had today. Just in your mind's eye, just think for a minute, and I'm not asking you to count it up, how many worship services have you attended in your life? I hope it never gets old to you. I hope it never gets to be routine with you. I hope that we look at every opportunity together as a fresh blessing from the Lord and His grace and His goodness, that we not only gather here to worship Him in spirit, but in spirit and in truth. And He sent out the 12 one time in Matthew chapter 10. He said, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. But go ye rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." The gospel of the kingdom was not first given to the Gentiles. It was first given to the Jews, to the children of Israel. I don't know if you've done one of these online tests where you can find out where your ancestry was, and maybe some of you actually could feel like you have that natural heritage. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, you know, we were all Gentiles by nature.
That's right.
And why did God choose that natural nation of Israel? Was it because they were great in number?
No.
The Bible says no. Was it because they were stronger than those other nations?
No.
You know, there was an I at the end of their name, too. They were Israelites. Was it because they were more fair than these other people? No, it wasn't that. You know what made the difference between Israel and all those other nations? God did.
That's right.
Because God chose them to be the recipients of a certain kind of blessings that the other nations didn't have.
Right, right. Right.
Now, there's a lot more into him first coming to his own. His own received him not. And we know some did. But as a nation, they rejected the Messiah.
Yeah.
A lot more to that than we'll spend. And I'm not even going to try to go there. The gospel was not first delivered to us. The blessings that we've enjoyed today are blessings that we would not have enjoyed at that time. We see one time that a little Canaanite woman came up to him and, you know, she had a daughter that was sick and she wanted him to heal her. He answered and said, "I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." You know, how did she respond to that? She said, "True." And she recognized that as truth.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But you know, we read over in John chapter 10. I want to get back over. Actually, we're not going to take a lot of time from that. There are a few things that the Lord blesses we'd like to bring out. As He describes Himself as the Good Shepherd. He said, "I'm the Good Shepherd and know my sheep." And that's a wonderful thought, isn't it?
Amen.
Oh, brothers and sisters, you know, He's known you since before you were. And if you ever get where you can really understand that, you sit me down and talk to me a little bit.
That's right.
He's known you with an everlasting love. You were His before He made the world.
Amen.
You were created in Him before the world was. Mm. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. It just keeps getting better and better, doesn't it? And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. See, He's getting to us now, isn't He? About the time that this wonderful, sweet, blessed gospel that you have enjoyed, that you heard preached so well tonight. These instructions of how we ought to behave ourselves in that flock. How we ought to worship and follow after our Lord. He had some other sheep that He was going to bring in. You know, this one that told Him, you don't go to the Gentiles. You don't go to the Samaritans. You only go to the Israelites. There's going to be a time coming, and He points to that here, where this one that said, you don't go there, was going to send this one we heard a little bit this afternoon. We sang a song about it today, didn't we? Right on Peter. You know, God is the one that makes the laws, and God can change the laws, you know?
That's right.
Well, brothers and sisters, now, if those apostles had just said, well, you know, I know the Lord said not to go there, but I'm going to do it anyway, that would have been wrong, wouldn't it?
Right.
You know, when God says that you don't go here, and then later on He says, you go here. Let's go over facts. Let's spend a few minutes. We see in chapter 10, records the gospel being delivered to the Gentile people. So there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. So he was an officer in the Roman army. He had 100 men under him. You know, it almost seemed to me that that would be the least likely person that you'd begin with in that Gentile nation to send the gospel to. But you know, brothers and sisters, those same things that seem least likely to us,
Amen.
That's no problem for God. You know?
Amen.
In fact, I think that's just a good case for us to show, you know, that this is God's work here. You know, I'm glad they teach us a little bit more about this man, Cornelius. He says he was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. What do we know about Cornelius? He is born again, child of God. You know, the gospel is never sent to a dead
amen
sinner. The gospel is never sent to a dead man. The gospel that the Lord, when He works this out, when the gospel is sent to Cornelius, it's because he's alive.
Right.
You know, it's even a little bit more than that, isn't it? I don't know how much that Cornelius knew about God, but he knew. You know, he was not. It says he prayed to God always.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wasn't praying to the rocks.
No.
He wasn't praying to those statues that Paul saw on Mars Hill. He was praying to that capital G, O-D, no plural, that singular God. He had come to know this one, and you know, maybe he'd even picked up a few things. You know, when the Lord stirs up one of His children, borns them again, they're going to start looking around to understand some things, aren't they?
Amen.
I don't think you knew anything about Jesus yet. But it's coming.
Right.
Before this is all over, brothers and sisters, old Cornelius is going to be able to rejoice in the same thing that we've been rejoicing
Amen.
In today.
Right, right.
And isn't that wonderful? You know, it hadn't changed. It hadn't need to be adapted to the time. That gospel of that time is the same one we have today. A devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people. You know, he wasn't just thinking about good things. He was doing good things, wasn't he? He was out there exercising
Amen.
That.
Amen.
You know, I bet he was doing some things for some neighbors there, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He said he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him, saying to him, Cornelius. You know, it's a... And I think he was praying. It was the ninth hour, and there's not much in the Bible that tells us about why they prayed three times a day. I know there's a psalm that talked about David prayed in the morning, in the evening, and at noon. But I'm convinced that here was Cornelius, who says he prayed to God always. He was praying to the Lord. You know, isn't it wonderful when a prayer is answered like that? Because it said, you know, this angel, which was a messenger, isn't it? Isn't that wonderful when the Lord takes a man? Now, thinks about us as messengers. That this gospel is going to be delivered, and we see the beginning of this. And this is a wonderful example, brothers and sisters, around how the gospel is spread, because we see in this entirety of this event the Spirit working on a couple of ends, on the object, that was Cornelius, and on the minister, and the Spirit's got to be involved. And it, you know, when the Spirit's working on both ends, good things going to happen.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I have never been troubled about the men of God that travel to distant countries to preach the gospel. I can tell you, brothers and sisters, I got a lot of things to worry about. I got a lot of things to be concerned about. That's not one of them.
Amen.
The Spirit's moving on a man to send him to a place to preach the gospel to his children. He's born again and caused them to desire. You know, I don't know exactly what Cornelius was praying about. I think he was, just let me speculate a little bit. I try not to do much of that, but I tell you what, I think he was praying that he might have more understanding about this God, and he was fixing to get it. You know, this angel, and I said it's going to be brief here, so we're going to try to be brief. He said, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God." You know, brothers and sisters, I hope you know that when you kneel to pray, or stand to pray, or praying laying in your bed, or praying in your car driving, if you pray with that sincerity of your heart, can you just think about it? Because that prayer is not just drifting up in the air. I tell you, brothers and sisters, it's being carried in with tender care to the
That's
Father
right.
by one
Amen.
That loved you enough to die for you on the cross.
Amen.
I know when I was a kid, my sister could get mom and dad to say yes to a lot of things. They wouldn't say yes to my brother. A lot of times we wanted to send Jennifer in. You don't have to tell her that, Brother Chase. Please do. Because we knew that if their sweet little daughter went in there, then there's a good chance that they'd say yes. So we made her an intercessor a few times for us. But I can tell you, brothers and sisters, when this one that God said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. This one who satisfied every requirement." When he comes into those courts of heaven with the petition of one of his children to his father, it gets a good audience. And this one for Cornelius, his alms, prayers came up for one more before God. And you told him, "Send men to Joppa and call for one Simon whose surname is Peter." You know, it's interesting why that angel didn't just tell Cornelius, "Go down there to the house of Simon the Tanner. There's a man there named Peter you need to talk to." You know, brothers and sisters, God didn't send the Gentiles to the gospel. He sent the gospel to the Gentiles.
Come on, that's right. Amen.
And that's what he did. He said, "You send him in down there, and you tell Peter that there's something for him to do." Mm-hmm. We're going to need to cut this short, but you know, isn't it interesting?
Come on, man.
Don't you think that of all the places in that city that Peter was staying, don't you reckon he could found a better place than to stay with a tanner? You do understand what a tanner did, right? They take those dead animals in their hides, and they didn't have an environmental protection agency back then. I don't reckon there's a lot of air quality concerns. But you know, Peter's like, you know, maybe this is a good example of some of those things that he learned. Like his Savior, he didn't seek out the better and the finer places.
Right.
You know, he was over there where old Simon the Tanner was. Says in, again, it's the sixth hour. So what was Peter going to do? He's going to be praying. It's noon. He went up on the top of the house and went into a trance. And he saw something. Now, I don't believe this was like I believe Stephen saw Jesus Christ. Now, Peter was in a trance and saw heavens opening, something that's lowered down to him. We'll kind of quickly get through this because y'all are familiar with this account. Peter, being the obedient Jew that he was. So what was lowered down there was like a sheet, a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth where all manner four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls are there. And there came a voice to him and said, "Rise, Peter, you kill and eat." But what was in that sheet was things that Peter had been taught all of his life.
Yep, that's right.
He was not to take. You go back over in Leviticus chapter 11, It says, if these things, if you eat of these things, that's an abomination to you. But see, the one that said that you can't eat it is one that has the authority to say, now you eat it. Just like that one said, you don't go to those Gentiles or Samaritans. Now says, Peter, you go see this one. And Peter, bless his heart, not so, Lord. Well, have you ever tried to correct the Lord? You know? Sometimes we think we need to acquaint him with things. We don't need to do that, brother. Not so, Lord. For I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Now, I don't know whether that was true or not. You know, I actually could almost see that in that day and time, that was probably not a temptation that was placed in front of Peter very often. Now, if he had been like us in here today at lunch, trying to deal with the temptations, because there were some things in there that wouldn't have passed Leviticus chapter 11. It was pretty good this evening, too. Well, that's another reason I'm thankful we're not under the law, brothers and sisters. Because we can eat pork and we can eat catfish. That's silliness, I know. He said, I've never eaten any of those things. I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. You know, there was a young man that came to Christ one time and asked him about what he should do to inherit eternal life. And told him a few things. He said, well, I've kept all these things from my youth up. Now, I know that wasn't right. But regardless, the issue was not whether Peter had really eaten any of those things in his life. The issue was that Peter, what I have cleansed, call thou not common nor unclean.
Right.
You know, brothers and sisters, that we understand. You know, Jude talks about something wonderful that we have, and he calls it a common salvation. We need to understand that. It's common in respect, brothers and sisters, that every heir promise, that every child of God, it was chosen that God bestowed his love upon them. And, you know, we talk about grace. We talk about those things that God, through his sovereign purpose, determined that were necessary and that he himself, by his own power, would bring, be brought to bear. But have you ever thought about that moment? That moment that God loved you. Because I tell you, that moment, that act of God bestowing his love upon you, say, this is a vessel of what? Of mercy. This is a vessel of mercy. You know, when God chose you as the object of his love, each and every one of you, then there's some things, brothers and sisters, that had to follow after that. If we understand this God that we try to serve, not only would he not allow one of the objects of his love to perish in eternal torment. He could not allow one of the objects of his love to perish. That would be contrary to the character and the nature of who God is.
Amen.
I'm thankful for that. You know, brother and sister, with me, we maybe ought to kind of keep this in mind too. We see a little sinner that's had challenges in some of these hard spots in life, and they come up laboring and heavy laden with their sin. We need to be careful that we don't kind of treat them like they're common or unclean.
Amen.
We see evidence the Lord has cleansed them. You know, there's a little sister that came up to Christ when he was having supper at one of the Pharisees, and she was well known in the town, and not for good things.
Right.
You know, she came in there to worship the Lord. And she came in there with a little box that had ornaments in it. It was made out of alabaster. You know, if you did a little research, a little study, we find that, you know, alabaster is a very, very common material. But if you take something like that and you craft it into a receptacle for something to worship, I can tell you, brothers and sisters, You know, when I came in this morning, this place, and I saw the fellowship and the love expressed, and we started singing those songs this morning, I could smell the ointment. I could smell the fragrance of worship and praise to God. Because, you know, it was coming out of a something, you know, the old hard heart that we have by nature. That's a very common thing. Every child of Adam's got one of them. You know, when the Lord takes that and He crafts it into a receptacle for His Spirit, but to be something that can spring forth to Him, praises to His name, it's not common anymore.
No,
you know, that temple at Jerusalem, they said when they brought the blocks there to that temple, said they didn't even hear a sound of a hammer, did they?
No.
What made those blocks any different than the ones that were left in the quarry? It was the choice of the mason.
Right.
Of all that rock that was left out there, was just like that rock that was used to, those blocks were used to build the temple. But see, those have been selected and those have been crafted and they've been worked on so they fit into that temple. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, we got a lot of work to do on each other to follow after the Lord in this life and support each other and bear one another's burdens and all these things. But, you know, in that eternal home, you've already been fashioned. You know, you were afore prepared unto glory. So we see, you know, we ought to know how this ends, right? You know, Peter, he was a little confused about things. He had to think about it a little bit. And that boy spoke to him again, said, the three men out there, you just do what they say. You go with them. So he went to the house of Cornelius, knowing that this was a place that he had never had the authority to go before. What did he do? He preached Jesus to them. At the end of that 10th chapter, it says, verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. That wasn't like something just fell out of the sky on top of them. He's talking about the gift of understanding. There was a revelation of Jesus Christ made to those people there that had been born again of the Spirit already. I believe it was Cornelius and his servants and some of those soldiers. I don't know how many were there, but when Peter preached to them and that Spirit revealed and gave them understanding. It says, they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. You know, this was, just consider, brothers and sisters, it had been 2,000 years when the law of Moses was given to the Jews. They had all those promises. They had all those things in the ceremonial law. This was an astonishing thing. But is it not always astonishing if we really understand? When the Holy Spirit reveals to you, it's an astonishing thing that we can believe the things we believe. That we understand that we have the hope and the certainty that comes from the knowledge of what Jesus did on the cross. That ought to be an astonishing thing. It's not, you know, that ain't pretty good, Grace. That's not okay, Grace, is it? That's amazing, Grace.
Amen. Amen.
That's
right.
What we believe in.
Yes, sir.
And they of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, that gift of understanding.
Yeah.
It says, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. You know, isn't that something? When we come to an understanding of the truth, we want to magnify God. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in what? In the name of the Lord. You know, I bet there was some rejoicing that day, wasn't there?
Amen. I know.
You know, I know this song hadn't been pinned down, but just as we sang it so beautifully this evening, I believe those old folks in Cornelius' household could say that same thing. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole.
Amen. Yes,
sir. Nailed to the cross. And I bear it no more. Praise the Lord.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. They could say that. God bless you.